Nemoto presents AI, an uncertain future. AI, timeline and purpose, integration versus innovation. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Christopher voice. Running time, approximately 21 minutes. The sequence is simple to state and hard to live through thinking about innovation, implementation, integration, daily use. First comes a capability that did not exist before. Then come pilots and proofs where that capability is attached to real work. Next, organizations refit processes and infrastructure so the new tool is not an add-on but a seam in the fabric. Finally, the novelty disappears. The tool becomes invisible and routine. Most of the world is not at the final stage with artificial intelligence. In many sectors, it is not even at the third. The public imagination often confuses a breakthrough model in a lab with a social transformation in a city. Those are different phases separated by stubborn details. Procurement cycles, standards, legacy systems, law, culture, and habit. Innovation is visible. It produces the demo, the paper, the showpiece that seems to compress years into minutes. A model answers questions, writes code, drafts legal language, schedules crews, sees patterns in images, and speaks in dozens of voices. Innovation convinces leaders that a threshold has been crossed. The conviction is not wrong. Raw capability has increased dramatically. But innovation is the opening of a door, not the crossing of the room. Implementation is where momentum goes to die or to gain traction. It begins with pilots that promise quick wins and often deliver them in a corner of a process rather than the whole. A team plugs a model into a customer support queue, or a hospital tries an assistant to summarize notes, or a public office uses an agent to triage applications. Immediately, the friction appears. The model needs clean data that does not exist in one place. The security team wants logs the vendor has never exposed. Legal counsel asks about liability when the answer is wrong and harm follows. Unions and professional groups request impact assessments and carve-outs for safety. Risk managers ask who signs when the system recommends action in a regulated setting. Each question is sensible. Each slows the march. Integration is the long middle. It is not attaching a tool to the side of a workflow. It is reshaping the workflow around the tool and reshaping the tool around the workflow. Systems that once exchanged nightly batch files must now stream events. Interfaces that were designed for a person must be redesigned for a machine partner. Roles shift. People become exception handlers, supervisors, auditors, and designers of prompts and guardrails. Incentives must be rewritten so that the organization values the new division of labor instead of punishing it. Integration demands change management, not just change. It demands budgets for refactoring old software and retraining people who know the old way best. In integration, sunk cost is the hidden gravity. Every enterprise is an archive of yesterday's decisions. Those decisions resist being unwritten. Daily use is when the system disappears from conversation and becomes part of practice. Repairs are routine, incidents are understood, documentation exists, and the help desk has a playbook. From the outside, it looks like overnight success. From the inside, it is the end of a thousand small fights. The tool becomes a habit. Culture adapts. New hires do not remember the world before it. Against that life cycle, it is accurate to say the world sits mostly between innovation and early implementation. There are bright patches of integration. Inside large technology firms, in specific hospitals, in certain logistics hubs, in some municipal call centers and benefit offices. But the analog world does not yield in a single year. A power grid built across decades, a court system built across centuries, a school system with human rhythms, none of these absorb a general intelligence overnight. The claim that artificial intelligence will take over most tasks may be true in the long run. The claim that it will do so everywhere at once is not. Timelines stretch for reasons that are not primarily technical. Procurement in the public sector runs on fiscal years, committees, and competitive bids. Safety-critical industries must prove not only that a system works but that it fails safely under stress. Legacy systems were never designed to be neighbors to learning machines. Their interfaces are brittle and their owners are cautious. Liability law is unsettled. In many jurisdictions, there is no clear doctrine for who pays when an algorithmic recommendation causes loss. Labor contracts are negotiated on multi-year cycles and embed professional scopes of practice. Insurance models lag behind new risks. These frictions are not evidence that progress has stalled. They are evidence that society is built to resist abrupt change for reasons of prudence, fairness, and order. The global map adds another layer. Democratic polities distribute decision rights across agencies, legislatures, courts, and the public. That dispersion slows implementation. It also catches mistakes before they entrench. Procurement hearings ask hard questions. Privacy rules require design changes. Elections can interrupt a program that moves too fast and too far without consent. The cost of this model is time. The benefit is legitimacy. Authoritarian systems compress the life cycle by fiat. Long plans are decreed and funded. Standards are set centrally. Pilots scale to provinces in a year. The cost is brittleness and abuse. The benefit is speed. In one place, systems are safer but later. In another, they are earlier but riskier. The difference is not simply moral, it is structural. The base each country stands on determines how implementation unfolds. Even within democracies, clocks differ. A city that owns its utilities can integrate an AI for water and power faster than a city that contracts them to private providers with decades-long agreements. A country with digital identity and interoperable public data can implement service automation faster than one with fragmented records and paper files. Places that aligned universities, hospitals, and industry around shared testbeds 5 years ago are ahead today. Places that waited for a perfect regulatory picture now discover they must pilot and regulate in parallel. The variance is real. It will widen before it narrows. The impulse to ask what ultimately drives the adoption is warranted. Greed, control, and power are blunt words. They are also accurate names for old forces wearing new clothes. Profit is the market's way of saying, do more of this. Artificial intelligence creates profit by reducing labor expense, increasing throughput, and opening new products that could not be built before. That motive will dominate private implementation as long as returns are high. Control is the state's way of saying, keep order and win. Artificial intelligence promises early warning, coordinated response, and population management in crises and beyond. That motive will dominate security and administration as long as fear and ambition persist. Power is the combination, economic scale and coercive capacity shaped by rivalry. In a multipolar world, artificial intelligence is an amplifier of both, so the desire for it hardens into doctrine. But the drivers are more than those three. There is the pull of convenience. People choose systems that make daily friction smaller. When a model makes travel, bills, forms, or medical follow-up easier, usage climbs regardless of ideology. There is the pull of status. Institutions adopt the language and tools of the frontier to signal relevance to investors and voters. There is the pull of curiosity. Engineers and researchers build because building is what they do, often because they want to understand how far intelligence can be formalized. And there is the pull of care. Clinicians want earlier diagnoses. Teachers want students to have attention beyond the constraints of class size. Emergency managers want better forecasts. Beneath greed and control sits a quieter current of service, imperfectly expressed and often captured by other interests, but present nonetheless. Human resistance is also a force. It slows recklessness and redirects plans. Creators contest unconsented training. Workers refuse deployments that desk ill without safety nets. Parents and teachers push back against systems that reduce children to scores. Voters punish leaders who move too fast without justification. Consumers turn toward human-made goods and experiences because the signal of authorship matters. These frictions are not trivial. They change the slope of the curve. They bend the path so that some uses arrive later, arrive differently, or do not arrive at all. Resistance becomes governance when it is organized, articulated, and codified. And in this domain, governance includes contracts and standards as much as statutes. Procurement clauses that require appeal rights and audit trails, service agreements that limit secondary data use, design norms that keep a person in the loop where stakes are high. It follows that adoption will be uneven and protracted. In offices and software development, daily use is already common. Assistants draft, summarize, and test. In customer operations, triage and self-service are standard, with escalation to humans for complexity. In warehouses and fulfillment, integration is deeper each quarter. In medicine, implementation is widespread for documentation and scheduling, selective for imaging and decision support, rare for autonomous action. In courts and benefits administration, pilots proliferate but public pushback slows scale. In energy and transportation, integration is gated by safety cases, interoperability, and capital cycles measured in decades. In defense, implementation advances in shadows, and the public will learn after the fact. This is a timetable of sectors, not of years, because the years will differ by place and policy. The analog world will not vanish. It will be wrapped. A handwritten form becomes a scanned input to a model. A paper archive becomes a retrieval index for a clerk working with an assistant. A legacy machine stays in service because a predictive model keeps it alive. A small shop keeps a mechanical register but uses an agent to reorder inventory and negotiate shipping. The history of technology suggests that layers accumulate rather than displace fully. Steam did not erase sail at once. Electricity coexisted with gaslight during a long sunset. Digital payment lives beside cash. Artificial intelligence will drape old systems and permeate new ones, often invisibly. The world will look analog on the surface longer than the insides would suggest. The question of purpose remains after the timelines and maps are drawn. What is artificial intelligence for if so much of its use bends toward surveillance, manipulation, and centralization? That is not a rhetorical flourish. It is the moral hinge. A civilization can tell itself that tools are neutral. That has never been true. Tools bend the hands that hold them and the lives they touch. A society that wants artificial intelligence to serve rather than rule has to choose what counts as service and what fails the test. There are tests that can be spoken plainly without slogans. One is an agency test. Does the system leave the person more able to act on informed intentions or less? A navigation model that helps a patient understand options and risks can pass. A benefit screener that hides criteria and denies with no appeal fails. Another is a dignity test. Does the system treat the person as a subject or an object? A tutoring model that adapts to a child without ranking that child for others to sort passes. A workplace tracker that reduces a worker to a heat map on a dashboard fails. A dependency test belongs on the list. Does the deployment create a single point of control that no one can exit, or does it keep alternatives alive? A public model for essential services, paired with a human pathway, passes. A proprietary gatekeeper for basic rights fails. A distribution test is unavoidable. Who captures the gains and who carries the risks? Systems that share efficiency with those displaced and with the communities that supply data pass. Systems that concentrate returns and socialize harms fail. A democracy test matters even when the use is not overtly political. Can citizens understand, contest, and change systems that govern their lives? If yes, the use earns its place. If no, it does not. These are not abstract. They map to design, contract, and law. If agency matters, interfaces must explain and permit refusal. If dignity matters, monitoring must be limited by default. If dependency matters, procurement must require exportable models and data portability. If distribution matters, dividends, taxes, or ownership stakes must tie gains to people beyond the balance sheet. If democracy matters, registries, notices, and open hearings must accompany high-stakes automation. Where these instruments are used, the same technology can serve ends that those who detest it could still recognize as legitimate, even if not loved. There is a more foundational why that sits beneath test. The point of intelligence in machines is not to prove that humans are small. It is to lift what is heavy in human life. Some weights are drudgery, reconciling ledgers, extracting forms from stacks, transcribing, sorting, checking, translating webs of regulation, scheduling scarce resources. Some weights are limits of perception and prediction, seeing a tumor early, forecasting a flood, routing evacuations, discovering a molecule, optimizing batteries, orchestrating crops under changing skies. Some weights are access. Giving speech to those without it, eyes to those who cannot see a page, companions to those alone, instruction to those far from a teacher. If deployments lean to these ends, a skeptical public can still supply consent. If deployments lean to managing people as inputs and installing levers over them, the public will resist and will be right. The answer to what is it for cannot be purely economic. More output with fewer people is arithmetic, not a purpose. A society that confuses arithmetic with purpose will find itself prosperous and empty. The answer cannot be purely geopolitical. Advantage is a means, not an end. A society that organizes around permanent advantage will find itself powerful and brittle. The answer cannot be novelty. The new wears off. A society that chases newness as an end will age into cynicism. The answer must be about the shape of a good life, multiplied. That is an old idea. It becomes new again when a civilization has to say out loud that tools will be judged by whether they make more of those lives possible. On the practical side, the long timeline is an opportunity rather than a disappointment. Because implementation and integration take years, there is time to set guardrails before daily use hardens practices. Municipalities can write procurement that encodes the tests. Regulators can demand impact assessments and appeal rights in high-stakes uses. Insurers can price risk where secrecy or single points of failure persist. Courts can clarify liability so that responsibility is not lost in a maze of vendors. Educators can adapt curricula so that students learn how to work with models without losing uniquely human skills. Unions and professional bodies can bargain for augmentation rather than replacement. Firms can build openly in public functions and accept slower adoption in exchange for legitimacy. These moves are not glamorous. They are the difference between a tool that enters life as a servant and a tool that enters as a supervisor. The country that moves fastest is not always the country that wins. Speed purchases a first mover's headline. It does not purchase resilience. Systems built under pressure of control often look strong until they meet the rare event their designers did not imagine. Systems built under pressure of consent often look slow until they meet that same event and flex instead of shatter. The world will see both kinds of failures. It will learn from each. An implementation advantage today may become an integration liability tomorrow if it cannot be inspected, appealed, or repaired without permission. A slower path today may become a trust advantage tomorrow if people remain in the loop where it matters. The premise that artificial intelligence will take over most tasks is not the same as the premise that it will take over most meaning. Tasks are components. Meaning is composition. A model can complete a component in seconds. Composition requires judgment, context, relationship, and responsibility. If organizations design their futures as a sequence of components with no composition, then the prediction of an empty society can fulfill itself. If they design composition deliberately, assigning composition to people and components to tools, the prediction can be reversed one decision at a time. For those who fear that artificial intelligence will be used to control every aspect of life, fear is not paranoia. It is a reading of incentives. Control will always be an available use. The counterweight is to make other uses cheaper, more legitimate, and more rewarding, to tilt the field so that service beats surveillance, augmentation beats automation, transparency beats secrecy, plural platforms beat single choke points. That is policy work and market design, not a sermon. It is also culture work. If citizens expect and demand systems that pass the tests, leaders will provide them. If citizens accept comfort in exchange for quiet, control will grow into the lattice of daily life without a dramatic moment to resist. A sober view admits that some deployments will go too far and will have to be rolled back after harm. It admits that some countries will fuse artificial intelligence with authoritarian practice and will claim an edge for a time. It admits that some communities will refuse tools and will pay a price in convenience and competitiveness. It admits that arguments over the why will be loud and unanswered for years. A sober view also notices that the long timeline gives room to correct course. Even where innovation is fast, implementation is not a single stroke. There are budgets, standards, hearings, contracts, pilots, audits, elections, and public lives in between. In those spaces, purpose can be argued and written. This is the decade when the questions shift from can to why, from demo to duty. The world is not behind, it is on time. Innovation opened the door. Implementation is underway. Integration will take the time it takes. Daily use will follow unevenly. Meanwhile, the driving forces will push and pull. Greed will seek margins. Control will seek levers. Power will seek position. Convenience will seek habit. Curiosity will seek limits. Care will seek relief. Resistance will seek voice. Governance will seek balance. Purpose will seek a sentence it can be spoken in without irony. The sentence is not complicated. The sentence says that intelligence and machines exist to expand the field of human dignity, agency, and shared life. If that sentence is kept close during the long work of implementation, the destination of daily use will differ markedly from the darkest forecasts. The analog world will change. It will also remain. People will still teach other people, build trust face to face, grieve, love, raise children, repair things, argue, forgive, plant, and sing. The machines will sit beside those acts, sometimes inside them, sometimes far away from them. The machines will be impressive. The acts will be irreplaceable. That is the quiet answer to what it is for. That is the reason to suffer the long middle rather than to rush or to refuse. The reason is that intelligence, like any power, is worth having only if it is bound to ends that outlast it.